Hello, my name is Wendy Lou Lee, baby Grace from Little House in the Prairie, and I am the next guest on Screen and Beyond.
On Screen and Beyond, an inside look into the entertainment world featuring interviews with people from the movie, TV, and music industry, news on upcoming TV and DVD releases, and the rumor mill. And now, here's the host of On Screen and Beyond, Brian Zemrak.
That's me. I am the host of On Screen and Beyond, Brian Zemrak, and this is On Screen and Beyond, episode 682, the show that keeps you updated on what's coming your way as far as upcoming new movies, remakes, sequels, and TV and movie DVD releases, as well as our interview segment with a guest from the movie, TV, or music industry. This week on Screen and Beyond, we are heading back to the Little House on the Prairie once again. We have Baby Grace joining us, Wendy Lou Lee, or back then she was Wendy Lou Turnbaugh, and she is going to be joining us here at On Screen and Beyond, and we're going to do a little talking about the show and what she remembers from it and everything when she was just a little kid, and her sister played the twins, or actually they weren't playing twins, they were twins who played Baby Grace, and we'll get into all that as it comes up in a few minutes right here on Screen and Beyond with Wendy Lou Lee. And if you haven't had a chance, you have just a few more days here, maybe a couple weeks maybe, to get into the On Screen and Beyond crossword puzzle contest, which is going on right now. If you go to onscreenandbeyond.com, you can turn around and get into it. You download the On Screen and Beyond crossword puzzle, and we have all the questions there. The questions all relate to past episodes of On Screen and Beyond. So we even tell you which episode it's in and who the guest was and what the question what we have about them that you have to answer. And the person tells you the answer in the interview. So you just got to go back and listen to some of the episodes of On Screen and Beyond, and you'll hear some fascinating people. So it's going to be fun listening to it. And you have a chance to win yourself either an On Screen and Beyond baseball cap with the On Screen and Beyond embroidered logo on it. Okay, this isn't a printing or anything like that. It is really embroidered, really sharp looking hats. Or you can get a On Screen and Beyond coffee mug. And like I've always said, I always have it right here with me during the show. So just have your choice of which you want. And we will get that if you go to onscreenandbeyond.com, right on the front page. It's right there. Get in on the fun, and we will see what we can do about getting you a little On Screen and Beyond merchandise for free. And if you don't want to do that, but you still want On Screen and Beyond merchandise, you can also go to onscreenandbeyond.com, and at the top of the page, we have a button that'll take you right to On Screen and Beyond merchandise, and there's a lot more stuff. There's hats, there's mugs, there's glasses, there's t-shirts, sweatshirts, the whole works. So, check it out at onscreenandbeyond.com. It has been very hectic lately. I have been doing more and more episodes, interviews, I should say, over the past weeks, 2 weeks here. But we are hopefully going to take a break here for just a little bit. But I said that earlier. I think it was probably 2 months ago. I said that I was going to be away, and I was going to probably do an episode every 2 weeks, and obviously, I haven't. We haven't missed a week, so everything is coming your way. We just had a flood of guests here, so I was able to get all those on and ready for you each week right here on Screen and Beyond. We are back on our Sunday schedule like we normally are, but there are times that maybe in the future here, and we have in the past many times, where somebody has a movie coming out or a book coming out or something like that, that we want to make sure we get that information out to before it comes out. So what we've done is we've either backed off or waited a little bit to get to, might be a day or so either way. Rather than have you look for the episodes, it's just easier to go to your favorite podcast provider, turn around and click subscribe or follow, whichever. And that way, the second I put it up, it will automatically be downloaded to you. Now, that's the best way, you know, to not have to look around and wonder when the episodes are coming out. Like I say, we generally try for Sundays all the time, but, you know, we sometimes have to make adjustments. So if you want to check that out, go to your favorite podcast provider, and there'll be a little button that says follow or subscribe or whatever, and you can just click that, and you'll automatically get it. So I think it is time that we should get into remakes, sequels, and prequels, because we've got a bunch of them right here on Screen and Beyond.
Please hang up and try again.
Remakes, sequels, and prequels, Deadpool and Wolverine slams into theaters on July 26th, and a remake of 2022's Danish thriller comes to theaters with James McAvoy on August 9th. And it looks like Alien Romulus lands on August 16th in theaters. And Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice with Michael Keaton, September 6th. And September 27th, Transformers 1 continues the franchise with Scarlett Johansson and Chris Hemsworth. And that's it for remakes, sequels, and prequels. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, upcoming new movies. Upcoming new movie, Sylvester Stallone will star in The Epiphany. And it's about a soon-to-be-retired police detective. I'll bet you that one is who Stallone is. And a younger cop and a priest trying to stop a serial killer. Batso, with Ethan Hawke, Daniel Radcliffe, and Jessica Biel, tells the story of an aging climber and a novice as they attempt an unthinkable climb. And Ralph Fiennes will direct and star in The Beacon. And that's it for upcoming new movies. Next on Screen and Beyond, it's movies and TV on DVD and streaming. Movies on TV and DVD and streaming, it looks like Jack Ryan, the complete series, comes to Blu-ray on April 16th. Jack Ryan, the final season, hits Blu-ray also on April 16th. April 30th, Mean Girls, the 2004 version, lands on 4K and Blu-ray. And April 16th, The Faculty comes to Blu-ray and 4K. And King Kong, the 1976 version with Jessica Lange, hits 4K, Blu-ray, and digital code on April 9th. And that's it for movies and TV on DVD and streaming. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, TV and entertainment time.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Dean Butler, and I'm on Screen and Beyond.
TV and entertainment time. Well, The Fool has been canceled by Hulu after two seasons, and a reboot of the TV show Bewitched from the 60s is in the works, and the final season of The Handmaid's Tale will start production this summer and premiere in 2025. That's it for TV and entertainment time. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, we are going to hop on the wagon, and we're going to head down to the Little House on the Prairie. We've had a lot of different people from Little House on the Prairie before. We've had Dean Butler, Melissa Sue Anderson, a lot of different other ones. But we have Baby Grace joining us here this week at On Screen and Beyond. Wendy Lou Lee is joining us, and her sister Brenda were the twins who played the singular character of Baby Grace, and she'll get into, you know, how that works and why and all that stuff. But it's going to be an interesting chat. Wendy Lou Lee, next, right here on Screen and Beyond. Today's guest on Screen and Beyond spent four seasons on the beloved show Little House on the Prairie in the role of Baby Grace. It's Wendy Lou Lee, or Wendy Lou Turnbaum, as she was when she was on the show. Wendy, either way it is, welcome to Screen and Beyond.
Thanks, Brian. So fun to be here with you.
Now, Wendy, Little House on the Prairie, it was just such a good family show. We don't see many of those. I mean, over time, you know, we get spatterings of them, but that one just went on, and it was such a good show. You must have been thrilled. I mean, you were little when you were on, so you probably didn't even know you were on the show, really.
Yeah, I was little, but I mean, the best show ever, I have to say, hands down.
You're not
biased.
I'm
probably biased, but it's okay.
but it really was. It was just, well, and I say was, it still is. People are still watching this show because it is so different than everything else that's on.
Yeah, we have new viewers, a whole generation of new viewers that are loving Little House on the Prairie. So it's going nowhere.
Yeah. Now, when did you come on to the show? I know you were on for four seasons, but how far were they into the show itself?
Yes. Well, Baby Grace was actually born the very end of season four, but that was not me and my sister. By the way, Baby Grace was played by twins, not just me, but also my twin sister, Brenda. But that is not us because they hadn't found us yet. So that is actually a little boy. One of the crew guys had a son who was baby-ish, but if you look real close, that baby is way too big to be a newborn. So our first episode was the first episode of season five, No Place Like Home, and that's when the family moves to Winoka. So that is our first episode. I always say, if Albert is on the show, if Matt Labrador is on the show, that is when we are on the show, because we had our first episodes together during that first episode of season five. Huh. And then we go through until the end of season eight. So five, six, seven, and eight.
Yeah. Wow. And I mean, you basically grew up. I mean, I've said that a lot to different people, child actors who've been on the show, you know, and they were, but generally they were like from, I don't know, maybe 10 to 18 or something like that. But you really grew up in front of us.
Yeah, you know, my mom always says it was quite fun potty training toddlers on the set of Little House, and our potty chair was right behind the big tree out by the house. Oh, so, yes, we definitely grew up on the prairie. The only maybe bummer of that is that I don't remember as much because I was so little. Right. We started at 8 months old until about four and a half. So I was just, you know, forming memories at that time. So, but Little House was a dream, one of the most amazing experiences ever.
Yeah. Now, how did you come about being on the show? Now, I know there's got to be a story there. You know, how did you pick, how did they pick, you know, these two girls?
Well, we're really, there aren't a lot of, you know, 6 month old twins who have headshots and agents. So that is not the way that we got the role of Little House on the Prairie. My grandmother, and grandfather, they were friends with Kent and Sue McCrae. Sue McCrae was the casting director for Little House and many other shows. But, and then Kent McCrae was executive producer. So my grandparents played bridge with them. And so they saw them all the time. And, you know, what do you talk about in the late 70s, but Little House on the Prairie. And so it was kind of always like, what's going on with the show and da da da. And, you know, one day it was like, we can't find a Baby Grace. We don't know what to do. And my grandma was like, ha-ha, what about my granddaughters? And that's really how it happened. We a picture was shown to Michael Landon, and we went in, played with him on the floor for about 3 minutes, and he said, "These are my girls," and that was it. So,
wow.
Yeah, I don't know if there were a lot of other twins in the running. I think that they really were like, we need twins and we need them fast. And we just were there at the perfect time. So,
yeah. Now, do they have to have twins when, or did they have to have twins at that time? Or could they had a, you know, just a single child who they wouldn't put on as often? Is that how it could work?
Well, the thing is that with the child labor laws, you can only work a certain amount of time. A lot of people think, oh, they have two because if one of them's crabby, then they can use the other one. But actually, that's not why they do it. They do it because when you're especially two and under, you can only work about 4 hours a day. And two of those hours are actually in the dressing room. So 2 hours on screen a day is not very much. Now, if it is a child that is playing a small role or a one-day role or one-episode role, they're not going to use twins. But if you're using a, you know, kids that are going to be a family member of an ongoing show, you definitely need some more screen time than just 2 hours a day. So that is why they use twins. And that is why Michael Landon used, I think, 3 or 4 sets of twins on Little House on the Prairie. You know, the Carrie twins, the Grace twins, the Rose twins, and then also a pair of twins that actually got to play twins, which was Percival and Nellie's twins. But they didn't have so much screen time that they needed doubles of them.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds like it got really complicated during the filming of that show with all these twins running around. Yes. Did you get more screen time or less screen time than your sister, or was it pretty well balanced? And what were you doing while she was on, and what was she doing while you were on?
Right. So most of the time, the twins, usually one person is like on the clock and the other one isn't. So if Brenda's on the clock, she is in her prairie outfit and I am in my street clothes in the dressing room, or, you know, doing something else. But most of the time, both of us would not be on, you know, in the recording room at the same time because one of us is not working. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how it goes. We really worked the same amount of time. Now, which scenes they chose to use, that is not under our control. So mm-hmm. Working was the same. We both worked, you know, mostly the same every day, but it was more, you know, who got chosen, which clip got chosen, which one didn't get chosen. I'm normally the one who was crying. So I was a little more scared of the camera and the lights. And so they knew, okay, if we need a crying shot, well, we're just going to go with Wendy every time.
I know, like I say, I've talked with a lot of child actors and they spent time in school and things like that. But at the age you were in, you really weren't school age even at that time, right?
No, we had it the best because we just played all day. Yeah, we were on Little House before we even went to school. So after Little House was over, that's when we went to kindergarten. So wow. Yeah, we didn't really have to do the school stuff. We just got to hang out and feed the chickens and play on the swing and you know, hang out in Bandit's doghouse, stuff like that.
Yeah. Wow. As far as the set, where was the actual set of the prairie and the house?
The interiors were all done at MGM. Well, when I was on from season 5 to season 9, it was MGM. Seasons 1 through 4 was over at Paramount. So those are all the interiors. Mm-hmm. The exteriors were out at Big Sky Ranch in Simi Valley. If you're in, you know, the town. Now, if you're at a river or a train depot or something like that, then you're on location somewhere else. But we didn't actually go to any of those other places. You notice that when the family goes to the train station, baby Grace isn't there.
She's home.
Because they didn't want to bring her on location.
She's home with the dog.
I know. Once in a while, you're like, where is baby Grace? She's just born an episode ago, and she's nowhere to be found. We weren't working that day.
Yeah. Jeez. Huh. That's incredible that, you know, how that all works. It must be really confusing. But now, do you have any memories of, or when did you start having memories of things that you remember from the episodes? You know, I like you said, you know, the first episode, you probably, you know, don't have a clue what you did. Maybe the second, probably not either. Maybe the third, probably the fourth one. Maybe you started, you can remember things from them, right?
Well, not the fourth episode, but the fourth season.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yes. So season eight, we do remember, especially some very, you know, iconic memories. The Christmas They Never Forgot, which is in season eight. We were about 4 and a half, and I remember that day like no other. We got onto the soundstage, and we gathered the snow, and we put it in a box, and we took it home, and we had it for like 20 years. I remember fighting with my sister about who would get to lick the candy cane, and I did not win. I remember watching that episode a couple months later with my at my grandparents' house, and it being like, I can't believe that's us on TV. That's so weird. Yeah, so that episode for sure. There's also another episode in season eight called Days of Sunshine, Days of Sorrow. And this is a huge episode where the tornado takes down Laura and Almanzo's house. And there's a scene where Baby Grace and Melissa Gilbert, well, I guess Laura, are walking to the house, and Laura sees her house and starts, you know, going crazy, and Baby Grace goes running off to get Pa or something. And that was a huge episode too. I remember that episode and Michael Landon yelling, "Keep running, don't look back, keep running." And it was this just huge episode for us. Those are probably my two clearest memories. I also remember having lunch out on at Big Sky Ranch with all the, you know, all the cast and crew, and how absolutely fun that was, and following around Lindsay and Sydney, the Carey twins, you know? So, I think those are probably the highlights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what was, and this is a hard answer, I'm sure, for you to give us an exact thing, but what was it like with Michael Landon? He seemed like such a genuine, nice person. Maybe he wasn't. I don't know.
Yes. Mike was, most of the kids describe Mike as this fun-loving prankster, jokester guy that make everything fun. You work hard and then you play hard. And we didn't really see that side of him because we were just so little.
Right.
But he was so calming. I think that is the thing. We just always felt very much at home in Mike's arms, except for when he's trying to feed me and I'm having a total meltdown. But he was just this calming presence. So we loved every, I mean, I say we love it, but we felt safe, I guess I would say. And you can see that on screen. There's no like weird vibes going on with Baby Grace and Pa. Unless he's trying to feed me. Yeah.
But. Well, hey, any father with their kids, that can happen. So, but yeah. Now, were there any other of the kids, like you say, there was quite an age difference between most of you, but were there any that you tended to be with most of the time and hang out off screen?
Well, I would say on screen, it is usually Melissa, because Laura's carrying Grace around all the time. And, you know, she's like the oldest sister in the house when Grace is pretty much born, because Mary's blind and then she goes to the blind school and all that. So you can see that big sister kind of role that she has with us. And she used to sneak off the set into our dressing room and play with us. And she actually claims to have taught us our first word. So we had a really special relationship with Melissa. She loved little kids then. And if you know her now, she is just a sucker for kids and animals. She just loves them to no end. So Melissa was definitely, we were on screen with her more than any of the other siblings, for sure.
Yeah.
Hands down. So, of course, the Carey twins, Lindsay and Sydney, of course, we're close with them because they had this whole twin thing going on. So we did photo shoots with them. They really played up this, you know, in the TV guides and things like that, like Double Trouble and, you know, all that. So we had a really great relationship with them. Besides that, not a lot of kids were we hanging out with on the set. We were just too little.
Yeah.
You know, when the family all rides in the wagon and Baby Grace gets to ride in the wagon, okay, well, yeah, we're with the family. But we didn't hang out with a lot of the other children very much. So. Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Susan Olson. I used to be Cindy Brady. I guess I always will be on Screen and Beyond.
Now, when the show ended, how did you feel? I mean, you know, probably at your age, it was like, okay, I'm not here anymore. I'm not feeding the chickens anymore. But did it affect you at all not being on set anymore?
Well, we didn't really have a choice, of course, but it's almost like, you know, you go to the park every day and then your mom says, well, we're not going to the park today. You know, like it was just something that just didn't become a possibility anymore. And, you know, I always say that mom, pa moved away and they took Baby Grace with them. We didn't have a choice. Like we couldn't stay in Walnut Grove, even if we wanted to. Mm-hmm. So it was quite the change of lifestyle for us to all of a sudden be, you know, we were looking, my mom was like looking for work for us, but kind of like, do we want to do this? Because Little House was just head and shoulders above any other thing that you could have been doing as a child actor at that time. So we did one commercial, and after the commercial, my mom was like, we're done. Because it was just so not the environment that she wanted us in mm-hmm. compared to Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, that's kind of a hard thing to beat if you're looking for a family-oriented thing. And I can understand that. Yeah. So did you ever have a urge to go back into acting?
You know, we didn't. I think we got it out of our systems. You know, we did do like every church musical and every talent show in elementary school. Like, you know, we really did the typical acting that kids do, but we had moved away from Hollywood and it just wasn't even something that we were wanting to do.
Yeah. So did you go back to, and I put this in quotes, go back to a normal life after the show was ended?
Definitely. Completely, completely normal. We did that one commercial, like I said, and then we never did acting again. And we actually moved away from Southern California. And we just lived a total normal life. We didn't tell people we were on Little House on the Prairie until we went and visited Michael Landon on the set of Highway to Heaven. And we came back with these really cool crew jackets. And so that was like the first time we were like, oh, by the way, we were on TV when we were little. And people were like, what? No way.
You weren't the stars that everybody, you know, knew.
No, not until we wore those jackets. And then, you know, kids, they just forget about stuff. They don't care. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, people knew, but it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like fandom or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I don't know. Do you have children now?
I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, do you sit down and watch Little House on the Prairie with your kids?
I did when they were little. Yes. We started watching Little House when my daughter went to kindergarten. So she was about 5. My son was about 7. And we watched all the way through. And they loved it. And they loved it when Baby Grace was finally born, because it took a long time to get there.
Now, did they?
Yeah, they are now 19 and 17. So yeah. They're not watching Little House on the Prairie anymore. Not.
Right.
Not. Unless I force them to watch it at Christmas time, you know.
Come on, Ma, gee. Do we have to watch you again? But, yeah, that's, you know, having the kids grow up with that show, I'm sure that made an impression on them. Just, you know, just being a good show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they have heard it their whole lives. It's the best show ever, and, you know, don't knock Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah. Now, do you have any regrets that you did that show?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. And And actually, the coolest thing about being on Little House on the Prairie is now, because my life, this is all I'm doing now. Little House is crazy. We are traveling all over the country, and I get to see my castmates like every month, sometimes twice a month. So really, Little House has been the biggest gift to me, especially in the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 years. It's just been absolutely incredible. And the 50th is here among us right now. 2024 is the 50th anniversary. Yeah. So we're just living a dream here of getting to see our castmates and visit with fans. And it's incredible.
Yeah. Now, you also have a book out, right?
Yes, I had two books out, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The first one, and which was a prairie devotional, I believe.
Yes.
And then you've got the one most recent was Red Tail Feathers, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Are those all oriented toward Little House on the Prairie?
Mostly, yes. The prairie devotional is basically taking quotes from the actual series and then putting it into a devotional format. So, you know, a little bit about the series, a little bit about my life, and then some encouragement with a biblical aspect and some questions to, you know, apply to your life. So that's kind of the prairie devotional thing. Mm-hmm. So every episode or every chapter is about an episode from the show. My second book, Red Tail Feathers, is really my memoir, and it's about finding grace in every chapter of your life. So a lot of the chapters include things about Little House on the Prairie. Some of them don't, but the thread that goes through it is that there's this grace that you can find in all your chapters of life. So
where can people get those books?
You can get them wherever books are sold. I also do signed copies from my Etsy store or at events. So I bring them all to my events and they can get them there too. So
do you go to any of the autograph signing shows and things like that that are all over the country?
Yes, I am at every one I'm invited to, and I don't think I'm missing any of them this year. Mm-hmm. So we're all over the place. Two in April, we have three in May, we have two in June, we have two in July, we have, you know, we're going to be a busy bunch.
Yeah. Well, 50th anniversary, that's quite a milestone. And you know, and the thing is, people are still watching it. It's not like, okay, it was a show that was on and 50 years ago. People might pick it up and see it here and there, but it's constantly seen.
Yeah. I'm so amazed that there are actually networks or channels that play it 24 hours a day. I'm thinking that is insane. People watch it all day long, and I'm just amazed that this show is still going so strongly. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Well, Wendy, I thank you so much for joining us, but I want to finish up with one final question. But before we do that, I want to remind people that they should, check out your books, The Red Tail Feathers and A Prairie Devotional, and, get a nice book to learn and about you and everything else you did on Little House and everything. And so I thank you so much. But the final question is, when you sit back and relax, what are your favorite TV shows now and of the past when you were growing up? And what are your favorite movies now and of the past?
Oh my gosh, you should have given me some time to think about that.
I like to throw it at people.
I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay, so TV shows of the past. Okay, so the TV shows that I remember watching are number one, Little House on the Prairie. Number two, Charlie's Angels, The Love Boat, and The A-Team. I guess those would be like, oh, and maybe Knight Rider. I don't know.
Yeah.
Those were my shows growing up when I was a kid. And what are you talking? What was the next question?
Movies
from the past. Oh, goodness. Movies from the past.
Is there a movie that when you're, and this makes me, is saying how old I am. If you're turning the dial or changing the channel, I should say. If you're changing the channel, is there, you see a movie and you just have to watch it. You've seen it 100 times, but you got to watch it again. Is there anything like that?
Yes. I am kind of a sucker for musicals. So Sound of Music, And Footloose.
Yeah.
And Wizard of Oz. So I think those are probably those are the ones that I'm like, oh my goodness, I have to watch it.
Yeah.
I think that would be it.
Yeah. Well, Wendy, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to share with us. Over the years, I've had a lot of different people from Little House, and I'm so glad we were able to get in touch with you and get you on here, too. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Brian. It was so fun.
And a big thank you going out to Wendy Lou Lee for joining us here at On Screen and Beyond. Be sure to check out her books. She's got some a memoir out, and she's got the Prairie Devotional out there, and just a lot of good stuff. And you can, you know, get into that books. If you have not seen Little House on the Prairie, for one thing, where have you been all your life? But it's the 50th anniversary, and it's such a family show, and it's so good. Be sure to check it out. Sit down with your family and have a good time watching that, you know, because I'm sure it's on all, I'm sure there's all kinds of the streaming services that have it or whatever. But, you know, be sure to check it out and have a good time watching that with your family. Well, we are just moving along here, and here we are at another final ending of this episode of On Screen and Beyond. But I want to remind you once again, if you want to have a chance to win an On Screen and Beyond baseball cap with an embroidered logo from On Screen and Beyond on it, be sure to get in on the action of the On Screen and Beyond crossword puzzle contest, which we have going on for, I think it's another week or so here. If you go to onscreenandbeyond.com, you can get all the information right there on the front page. Also, you can get the download for the actual crossword puzzle with the questions. And then, like I say, what you can do, a couple of ways you can send it back to me. You can turn around, take a picture of it after you've done it, and then turn around and upload it to us at feedback@onscreenandbeyond.com. Or you could turn around and not even do the crossword puzzle, but you could write the answers out and just let me know, you know, which ones they are, of course, if it's one down or five across or whatever, you know. But it must fit exactly if you're going to do it that way, okay? If the answer was Batman, don't say the Batman. It's got to be the same amount of letters that go into the crossword puzzle itself. So if you want to get on that, you can get yourself an On Screen and Beyond baseball hat with the embroidered logo on it. Or you can choose the On Screen and Beyond mug, either one, whichever you prefer. And that's it. That's a wrap for this episode of On Screen and Beyond. I hope you will turn around, tell a friend about On Screen and Beyond. If you're out on a podcast provider listening to this, if you would leave a 5-star review, that would be so helpful to us. If you have a suggestion for a guest here at On Screen and Beyond, send it to me at feedback@onscreenandbeyond.com. And that's it. That's a wrap for this episode. So until next time, when we once again take you on screen and beyond, I'm Brian Zemrak. Take care.